Hello and welcome to the MK Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. Thank you very much, MKFM, for continuing our show during these difficult times. And thank you very much to 123 Internet, who are continuing to sponsor the show. Thank you very much, guys. So for those who might not have heard about Arthur Ellis in the past, we're a training and support organisation in Milton Keynes. We run a not-for-profit mentoring service where we provide one-to-one support to children, young people and adults. And it's been so busy recently. We've seen a huge increase in referrals into our one-to-one service so that people can get support through these difficult times, but also lots of organisations reaching out to us to see how we might be able to help their staff or help the communities that they serve. So thank you for everyone who's been working with us recently, and looking forward over the next few weeks to provide people with updates on how all of that's going. And today, as we always do, we're going to be providing a nice safe space to discuss different topics related to mental health. And today we're going to be talking about protective factors. So it's a really, really important topic. And I'm really actually proud to have our very own Jess Dell with us, who works within our one-to-one support function here at Arthur Ellis. So hello, Jess. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
No worries. And you've been on the radio before, I understand, from when you were, for a very young age.
Once, a very, very long time ago, yes.
Yeah, well, you're a seasoned pro. It's perfect. So how did you get into mental health? What's the story behind all of that?
Kind of started from just having a general interest in people and finding how we're all so different quite fascinating. And I went to college and studied health and social care because I wasn't 100% sure what I really wanted to do. And in part of that, I studied psychology and just thought it was amazing and great. And I carried on with psychology at an undergraduate degree and really enjoyed learning about people and why we think certain things, why we behave in certain ways, and all the kind of theories behind that and understanding mental health a bit better. Yeah. I really loved that. Thought it's a great way to just kind of understand yourself a little bit better as well. And I've gone further with it. I'm now doing a master's in clinical psychology. And I'm also working for Arthur Ellis in the one-to-one mentoring, and will eventually be helping with training.
Yeah, I'm really excited about getting you more involved with the training. It's going to be really good. So today we're looking at protective factors. So if we could just summarise protective factors, what would you say one is, or protective factors are in general?
So I probably explain them as protective factors are the things that they're the tools that we can learn to be able to maintain our well-being. So okay. It's kind of the little skills that we might already have that we don't even know, and then the ones that we have to learn.
Absolutely. And I suppose they're very, very different depending on the individual, but really, really important to have, especially at the minute with everything that's going on. We probably start finding that the protective factors that we have in place aren't necessarily working. So we're going to have a little bit of a break. We're going to come back with talking a little bit more about why they're important and helping you guys understand what particular protective factors you might already have in place and what type of protective factors you might be able to build during these difficult times. So we'll be back very, very shortly to talk about that.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group.
MKFM.
Hello and welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support on MKFM, and all sponsored by 123 Internet. So today we've got our very own Jess Dell on the show talking about protective factors. And before the break, we said that protective factors are tools that we can learn to protect our well-being, or tools that we have in place that protect our well-being. So Jess, why are they so important? What are, if we can go into a bit more depth about what they are and why they're important, what would you kind of describe protective factors as?
I think if we look at the importance of it, the kind of general side of it is that it's our survival skills. And it's they can be from the simple things that we need every single day to be able to function. And then if we go into the kind of more in-depth side of protective factors, it's the things that can protect us from things like mental health, the things that we know how to argue against intrusive thoughts it might have if we're anxious or going through a period of low mood, what the things that we know work for us to be able to avoid and stop those situations.
How do we learn them? Because we aren't given a toolkit when we're young or something, are we? It's not really something we learn in school. So how do we develop them over time?
I'd probably say that the main way they're developed is from experience. So like how we learn our skills as children from our gross motor skills and fine motor skills and all of that, we have to be in a situation to learn them. And if we don't learn those things, then as we grow up and we get older, if you've never learned how to hold a pen, when you're in that situation, it can be how do I do this? So yeah. With things like our protective factors, a lot of the time we have basic ones that we don't even know that we have. And then we can face a situation that we're not expecting and we haven't built our protective factors up enough. So it's kind of a shock of how to cope.
Yeah, and I think that certainly that resonates with me, because certainly in a mental health setting, you can see that if people experience more hardship, if people experience more difficult situations in their life, then sometimes they tend to be able to cope with a lot more than someone who hasn't experienced those things. Is that kind of fair to say, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think when you have to go through the hard times, you kind of have no option other than to build the protective factors up as much as you can. Whereas if you've never had to face those times, you won't have the same level of protective factors as people that have gone through hardships have. So yeah. It can be quite a shock when if you have life changes, if someone passes away, or like the situation we're all in now, it's all different and it's all unexpected and it's not something we've learned how to deal with yet.
Yeah, and we kind of said that in the break. We sort of said about, obviously, none of us have gone through what we're going through at the minute, unless people were alive in sort of the previous pandemic in 1918 or so. But from the perspective of people's mental health, people might be experiencing low mood or different things at the minute, even if they haven't in the past. Because from what we were saying, they haven't, this is uncharted territory, we haven't experienced this before, so we haven't really got those survival skills, those coping strategies to be able to deal with what's going on.
Yeah, definitely.
So from over the rest of this show, what we're going to be having a look at is what everyday protective factors or coping strategies we typically have, so that we can start differentiating between what the day-to-day ones are and then some more extreme versions, and talking through different things that we might be able to build in to our days and recognize, so that it can help us with harder times like we're going through right now. So we'll be right back after this short break to talk through all of those different things with the lovely Jess.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group.
MKFM.
Welcome back to the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we have Jess Dell on the show today talking about protective factors and a variety of different ways to identify them, put some stuff in place for ourselves and maybe some other people within our households or within our families, but also when they might not necessarily be working and why and what else we can do about it. So, Jess, in the last section, we spoke about there are some protective factors and things that we do to protect our well-being that we do kind of naturally, and we won't necessarily recognize them as things that we do to promote our well-being. So what sort of stuff for people listening, how might we be able to identify those? What would that include?
I think probably one of the most important ones that we often don't even realize we're doing is having a routine. So things like the routine that we have in the morning, the way that we get up, whatever that is afterwards, if you make your bed, if you wash your face, whatever it is that is your kind of day-to-day, this is my way of getting up and getting ready to get on with your day. Those are the things that kind of allow us that time to wake up, to prepare ourselves for whatever the day's going to throw at us. And if you have anything that's kind of more personal to you, so if you like to get up 10 minutes earlier so you have time to read your book for a little bit, or if you like to take half an hour of the day to meditate, to do some exercise, yoga, whatever it is, there are the things that we might not necessarily realize are protecting us because we just see it as enjoyment, but they're kind of vital to maintaining our well-being.
Yeah, and it was quite interesting because we did a show a few weeks ago about the kids not being in school anymore and children not being in school anymore, and we kind of said about the actual process of our children getting into a uniform, similar to adults getting ready for work, and that process of putting on a uniform or putting on a suit or whatever people might wear for work, it gets you in that mindset of working. So would that kind of be part and parcel of that routine that we might not necessarily even consider?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's almost like you say, putting your suit on a thing, it's almost like you're getting into character, you're getting into that version of you that you need to be for the day.
Yeah.
So if you're getting up and getting ready to go into an office, you're preparing yourself for what you know you're going into. But when you then go to that, you are ready to face of what the day is going to bring you for that situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose at the moment with a lot of people working at home, a lot of people's routines are disrupted.
Yeah.
That's where it comes in that we might not necessarily have the experience of dealing with all of this. So what if our protective factors aren't being maintained, or we're finding ourselves in new situations that we haven't come up against before, what might people begin to start identifying as a result of this disruption?
So I think especially for a lot of us that are having to stay at home and not going to work, I think something that everyone is going to be experiencing is a bit of frustration and possibly just feeling down if you're not going through that process that you would normally in the morning of getting up and getting dressed, and you know you're preparing yourself. If you don't have that thing that's going to force you to get up, you can start to become a bit low, maybe you start feeling a little bit depressed, or just the fact that we're genuinely in a situation that's so unknown, we're bound to start feeling a bit anxious about it. We're going to be worried about what the outcome is, about what's going to change, what's not going to change. The fear of the unknown is definitely something that it's hard to protect ourselves from.
Yeah, and you said something really interesting about usually if people have the kind of day-to-day anxieties, like if you've maybe not locked the door or something like that, typically we've got enough of these protective factors or coping strategies to kind of did you call it positive self-talk?
So, yeah, that kind of, yeah,
so kind of the giving kind of, that reassurance.
Yeah being able to when we've got these intrusive thoughts, whether those are depressive thoughts or anxious thoughts, like thinking I've not locked the door, a lot of the time in a normal world situation, we have protective factors that we have built up, and we can kind of say, I have locked the door, or there's something I can do to make sure it's done. There's things that we can kind of, we can check, or we can maintain our kind of feeling of being okay, that these anxious thoughts aren't taking over us. But in a situation like we're in now, it is so different and it's so new. But when we're having these thoughts, we might not necessarily have the protective factors in place to be able to kind of shut those thoughts down.
Okay, absolutely. So we're going to be covering off a little bit more of that in-depth protective factors when we come back to talk about what you might be able to do if you are starting to feel a little bit more anxious or feel that your mood is starting to be affected by the disruption in these routines and these regular things that we do to protect our mental health. Right after this.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group.
MKFM.
MKFM.
Hello, welcome back to the Milton Keynes Mental Health Hour with me, John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. And we're here with Jess Dell, who's one of our very own here at Arthur Ellis. Very lucky to have her. And we are talking all about protective factors. So we've gone through what protective factors are. Certainly, if we don't necessarily consider protective factors just because they're coping strategies we've learned with day to day. But now, Jess, because our day to day has changed so much, and certainly if people have existing mental health conditions or are particularly vulnerable to certain mental health issues, what might we recognise if people aren't coping too well with the lockdown?
So I think for most of us, and a lot of us, we've either had a complete change of routine or just a complete loss of routine. And that can be quite a hard thing to deal with. So one of the things that we discussed earlier was about these intrusive thoughts, so these thoughts of kind of self-doubt that we can have with situations like if we're out and we're questioning ourselves of whether we lock the front door, we can have those protective factors to shut those off. When we're in situations that we're not used to, like the one we're in now, if our routine has changed or our routine has stopped, those intrusive thoughts can kind of become more negative thoughts. So from that, they turn from the self-doubting thoughts to a self-attack. So instead of questioning yourself, you're kind of getting to the point that you're just stuck in a house. You've got all these thoughts running through your head all the time, but you've got no distractions to get away from. So it can kind of be a way of constantly thinking negative thoughts about yourself, or just getting to the point where you're generally feeling quite down. So as a result of that, we can often see a change in behaviour. So where you might have had a good routine before, where you are eating good, you're exercising, if you've got to the point that you don't have anything in place that's kind of forcing you to stick with that routine that you had before, you can maybe change that and come to the point that you're not eating good, you may be drinking a lot more than you used to, or you're just getting to the point that you've kind of lost that ability to be caring for yourself. So if we're in a situation like we are now, where a routine has changed or our routine has stopped, and you've got all these negative thoughts that are going into your head, you can, for some people, you can kind of lead to these risky behaviours. Because if you're just feeling generally naff, you've not got a lot of motivation to carry on the way you used to. I suppose for some of us, we can kind of get to feeling, why would we look after ourselves? And that's when it can become quite dangerous.
Yeah, because we've talked about apathy on the show before, or just that real lack of ability to care for yourself or care about other things. And yeah, some things that we see with apathy is that people care so little about maybe themselves that they start actually engaging in risky behaviours, which at the moment, it's not too difficult to do, really, you know, going out unprotected or not really sticking to the guidelines. So that could be something, but also self-injury is, I suppose, would you class going out and putting yourself as danger as self-injury? Because self-injury sometimes is just considered, you know, maybe cutting yourself or scratching yourself, but
yeah.
There's other things that you can do to self-injure as well that we can pick up on and watch out for.
Yeah, I think kind of the first thing that comes to a lot of people's minds when you think of self-injury is self-harm or those kind of ideas of suicidal ideation. But it can be a lot more than that. It can be things that are actually a lot more, almost kind of every day. So in the situation that we're in now, if you're not going to follow the rules and you are going to be going out and about when you know that it's going to potentially put yourself at risk, that is technically a form of self-harm in a way. Or doing things such as if you once had a really, really good diet and now you're completely not taking care of yourself, you're not washing, you're not eating good, you're drinking alcohol more than you should, all of that is self-damaging behaviours. So although it's not the one that we all think of physical self-harm in the cutting yourself, like you said before, it's still a way that we are causing damage to ourselves that we shouldn't really be doing.
Absolutely. And from the point of view of self-injury, that the whole point of it isn't necessarily to get attention. It's not to do anything like that. But what it is for is to release endorphins that help you cope with that emotional distress or those really intense emotions that we might be experiencing. So in a way, self-injury becomes a protective factor, but in the long term, it's not necessarily a really very helpful one. So we are going to look at other things that we might be able to do, what we might be able to get in place, some of the staples that we need within our lifestyle, but also if we are experiencing those more extreme sides of things that we've just covered, what we can get in place for ourselves or other people that can help us out during these times. So we'll be back right back after this.
The MK Mental Health Hour with 123 Internet Group.
MKFM.
Welcome back to the MK Mental Health Hour. It is John Manning from Arthur Ellis Mental Health Support. We are here with Jess Dell from Arthur Ellis ourselves to talk about protective factors. So we're going to be rounding up the show a little bit now. So throughout this show, it's been really, really informative talking about what protective factors are, why people in the lockdown might be starting to experience some issues with their mental health, whether it's just struggling to maintain a routine, whether it's low mood creeping in. So we've also gone through a variety of more extreme sides of things, like the bad behaviours creeping in, complete loss of routine, and maybe some risky behaviours as well, and the different thoughts that might be leading to those. So Jess, to talk about what people can begin to kind of practically do about either maintaining their mental health if they're still in a really good place, or if they do recognize that they might be starting to struggle. So if someone was just looking to maintain their mental health throughout this time, what would be the really helpful things for them to start recognizing or focusing on?
I think that If you're in a position where you're feeling like things are going pretty well for you, your mental health is quite good, I think that what can be quite beneficial for you is to take the time to look at why that might be, what it is that you're doing or what it is that's happening that is making you feel this kind of positive way, because it's really good. And if you can take a second to look at that and think, actually, maybe you've been making more time for yourself in the day, or maybe you've been doing one thing a day that you enjoy, those are the kind of things that could kind of get lost in our busy everyday to day lives. So if you can take a second to realize the impact that's happening in your life, then look at the things that you can do to maintain them and make sure that those are the things that when in the future, when things get busier, or if your routine is starting to change with everything of this coronavirus at the minute, look at how you can make sure that's not the thing that's being sacrificed and that's the thing that you are going to keep going. So
absolutely.
I think
it was really telling what you said earlier on in the show about sort of the importance of having that morning routine and also that kind of bedtime routine as well. And if people are really finding it easy to manage that, seeing what else you're doing in the day to give you those little boosts, give you those little boosts of endorphins and that help to protect your well-being. So what if people might be beginning to recognize that they are struggling a little bit? So we mentioned that day to day is completely normal to have intrusive thoughts, but people might have recognized that they're becoming a little bit more common, a little bit more, maybe more intrusive than normal. And it's not necessarily just the door that they're worried about locking, but maybe they're worried about leaving the house at all. What's a good starting point for someone who might be recognizing that they're getting those intrusive thoughts?
With intrusive thoughts, one of the things that can often happen is you don't really realize they're getting bad until they have got to a point that they are really kind of on top of you. One thing that can often quite help with them is keeping a journal. So when you're having these thoughts, if you're writing them down, writing down the thoughts that's coming into your head, the way they're making you feel, the things that are happening to cause these thoughts coming up, and then being able to give yourself that bit of positivity and that positive self-talk where you can take a second to put that thought that's been in your head that seems like a really big thing down on paper. And I think that sometimes it can give us kind of that perspective of what that intrusive thought is, and maybe it's not as big as we think it is, and maybe it is, but what we can do to change it.
Absolutely, yeah. I've spoken to quite a few people who have begun journaling more recently, and they've said just literally seeing it in black and white on a bit of paper has been really, really helpful, rather than it rattling around in your brain. So,
yeah,
what could, if it's kind of taking that step from, I think we said about self-doubt into self-attack, and those thoughts becoming more negative rather than intrusive, and being more attacking at ourselves. What sort of things could help in that scenario?
So, as we kind of spoke about before, when we get to the point that your self-doubt has become to a self-attack and your thoughts are now just really negative, that's when it can kind of be a little bit more dangerous. So what we want to kind of do, what we call it normally anyway, is being able to take your thoughts to court. And that's when you kind of go through the process of looking what your negative thoughts can be, maybe go through the same phase of writing them down again, looking at what the evidence is for what's causing those thoughts to happen, whether it really is a big deal or whether it's not, kind of, again, putting those thoughts into perspective. But being able to look at the evidence and then look at what you can do to fight against that, to either make it slow down or just make yourself feel better in that moment. What protective factors you can build up for yourself to be able to make yourself feel better and to fight against those negative thoughts.
So it's not that you need to sit there all day experiencing the thoughts. What you can do is it taking your thoughts to court? So it's...
Yeah.
Okay, great. So it's writing them down, I suppose, and then looking at what evidence backs up that thought or what's led to it. So what sort of example, we did speak about a really good example about if you've sat in the house all day and your phone's just been ringing, but you feel rubbish. What sort of an example of where that sort of exercise and taking your thoughts to court would work really well?
Yeah. So when we spoke about that earlier, we were just saying it can be kind of that situation where you're sat there in your house, you've just been generally feeling quite low and feeling like you are on your own, you've had no one to talk to, and you've just got to the point that you're just hitting those really low mood and those negative thoughts are feeling really on top of you. So if you can write those down and write down the fact that you feel alone, that you've not spoken to anyone, maybe the evidence is there that actually, no, you've not spoken to anyone, but you've not picked up your phone when your phone's been ringing, or you've not made the effort to call that person you said you were going to call today. And it can be quite hard to force yourself to be doing those things, especially when you're starting to feel really low. But if you can get to the point that you're able to encourage yourself to call one person a day or do one little thing that makes you feel positive, those are the kind of protective factors that are essentially helping us to fight against these thoughts.
Amazing. Brilliant. So they're just small little steps that we can make to make our situation better. And we've also mentioned different risky behaviours, like finding ourselves drinking more. Maybe even we might be starting getting thoughts of self-injury or self-harm. And certainly at that point, we need to be reaching out for some help. So as we mentioned at the beginning, Arthur Ellis operate a one-to-one service here in Milton Keynes. It's digital, it's all on video calls, so we still get to see you, you still get to see us. It's not just on text or phone or anything like that. We can get together and we can talk about these issues. So you can self-refer on our website, which is arthurellismhs.com. And thank you so much, Jess. Thank you very much for being on the show. Really appreciate it. You're brilliant as always.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Good, I'm glad. And I will, we work together, so I'll see you very, very soon. But
yeah.
I really appreciate your help. Thank you. You're such a brilliant human. And thank you, everybody, for listening as well. And we will be back in the next couple of weeks talking about a different subject related to our mental health. And hopefully this has helped quite a few of you out there. So please stay at home, stay safe, and we'll speak very, very soon.
The
The MK Mental Health Hour and MKFM.